Whether you're brand new to homeschooling or a seasoned veteran, you'll find great ideas in our conversation today for making your homeschool a success. I'm excited to welcome back a wonderful homeschooling dad coming to us from Australia, Charbel Raich, here to share his first year homeschool survival tips.
Welcome to Homeschooling Saints, the podcast that helps you create the homeschool you love for the people you love. Our host is Lisa Maladnik, a Catholic life coach, TV host, best-selling author, and an instructor at Homeschool Connections.
Welcome, I'm Lisa Maladnik, your host. Today we're talking with Charbel Raich about his first year homeschool survival tips. Charbel Raich is married to Christine, and they have been blessed with 8 children together. Charbel has a passion for helping people get closer to discovering the fullness of truth and invites anyone who is willing to help him on this mission of evangelization through Parousia Media. Charbel has 2 degrees, a Master of Arts in Theological Studies from the University of Notre Dame in Sydney, and his undergraduate degree in Personal Development and Physical Education from the Australian College of Physical Education in Homebush Bay. He has over 10 years of experience as both a phys ed teacher and a religion teacher for primary and secondary schools. Currently, Charbel is working full-time with Parousia Media, his greatest passion, which specializes in faith formation resources and events. Over 1 million people have been evangelized through the work of Parousia Media, and well over 300,000 resources have been distributed around the world. It's an amazing ministry. Welcome to the program, Charbel.
Thank you, Lisa. It's great to join you again.
Oh, yeah. It's always good to talk with you. We always have a really interesting conversation. And you and your wife have really taken this journey seriously. And so you always have really important ideas as well as kind of practical tips to share. So not too much pressure, right? step us into when you first started homeschooling. What was that like for you?
Yeah, wow. It was an eye-opener, I can tell you, you know, with homeschooling, because my wife and I are both teachers. And so we came into homeschooling with the mindset of a typical school. And so when we started homeschooling, we had all the pressure of trying to, you know, mirror the schools that we taught at. And, you know, we had to write all these fancy programs and you know, make sure all the outcomes are achieved and all the assessment tasks are written, the reporting, you know, the assessment marking, everything that goes with all that. And we just thought, oh, okay, this is going to be a handful. And so my wife would prepare before, you know, quite extensively while having newborn babies. And so it was a little bit chaotic because I think our expectations were a little bit unrealistic. But yeah, it was being thrown in the deep end. We didn't have any support at that time. Our closest homeschooling family we knew of was about 4 hours away, 5 hour drive away. So we didn't really have a model to copy or see. And so we were just going in blindly. And yeah, it was a tough learning experience in that first year particularly.
It's kind of fun to hear you, like I can hear it in your voice, like just how much of a learning curve it was, because a lot of us might automatically think, oh, they're trained educators. Well, they're the perfect people to homeschool. That should be easy. But no matter what background you come from, this educating at home and getting to know your kids and establishing kind of where you're going together is a real process, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, you learn on the way. And we, in some ways, had to unlearn our preconceptions, and then we had to relearn new things. So this was, we were learning as much as the children were learning. So I think I'll never, you know, take away all the experiences we had. It all adds to a you know, our own life learning. But I do remember it was pretty difficult, even though we were trained teachers. It was not easy at the start. But it's not to turn anyone away from homeschooling. It's just to warn people it's not an easy ride, but nor is actual schooling either.
Right. It's all hard work. Anything worth doing, yes, as Chesterton would say, I believe, is worth doing badly. And sometimes we do, and God just makes up for our foibles. Can you think of some things that kind of were typical mistakes when you were starting out? And
so again, thinking about a school. So what happens at typically at school, you have bell times that go, and you have the different period, the different classes. So we try to have a strict timetable that mimic that. And so, you know, you had your recess, what we call recess and afternoon tea, and we had lunch, and then you had, you know, roll call. We had an opening prayer, which was great. But then trying to transition from one class to the next with a five-year-old, a four-year-old, a two-and-a-half-year-old, and a newborn, what was just not happening. And so when you think, all right, we got to go from one thing to the next, and my wife has to breastfeed the baby or change a nappy. We call them nappies, by the way, down under, diapers.
Right, but, exactly. Thank you for
So when you've got all this happening at this one time, then you've got to get trust that your five-year-old is going to close one subject and open up another book without any help. It's just not going to happen. They'll go out and play while you're out. And so then you come back and you want to try settle the kids, and it's just, it's like you're starting all over again. So sticking to a strict timetable was probably the funniest thing. We realized it's not working. This is not going to work. And I can sense if other homeschoolers had this mentality, you would want to give up right away, because it's just impossible with really young children to stick to such a regimen, a timetable like that. I think that was a big learning curve. We had to unlearn that.
Yeah. I tried to duplicate school at home too. My daughter had been in the public school through the fourth grade by the time my husband and I were able to agree. So, oh my gosh, I was in tears at the end of our school days. You know, I mean, it was rough until I finally started really talking to other homeschool moms and got out of the cage.
That's so true. Talking to people does really help.
Yeah. So what really helped you to find your way with your own children?
Yeah, I think in the end, yes, you're right. After a bit of tears, my wife would always say how hard it was, and especially it was our first year, and we're talking about kindergarten, right? So we're not talking about university level of schooling. We're just talking about the very basics, the ABCs, right at the very beginning, and even that was tough. But what was tough was the expectations we put on ourselves. And so we had these unrealistic expectations. And I think once we realized, hang on, we're in charge here. We're the principal. We're the head of this department. We're not reporting to anybody. It's okay. Take a deep breath. These are our children. Why are we doing this again? Reminding ourselves the why behind the whole mess. And this is about raising our children to be saints. This is about raising our children to be virtuous kids and to grow up as, you know, faithful sons and daughters of God and to be a good influence on society. And so then when it all comes back into perspective, it doesn't matter that they don't get to a particular subject a particular day, or they didn't finish this particular page on this day. Because what we realized after a few months was you can actually catch up very quickly. If you miss a day, it's not the end of the world. And then you're reminded in school, there are a lot of distractions. So school assemblies, there's school excursion days. There's all that time you wait lining up the children, settling down in class. Then there's the disciplinary things you have to deal with. You take all that away in homeschooling. You're dealing with just your own children. And you realize, okay, what would take typically 6 hours at school, we could do in 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours tops on the days that they do the work. and, you know, you can catch up. And so you have these bad days, and there are a few of them, but there are also very good days. And some of those days are so productive, you get 2 or 3 days in a row done, and you're right back where you started. And sometimes you're ahead. And now that we've been homeschooling for, 10 years, I think now. Yeah, 10 years.
Wow.
It's been 10 years homeschooling. We've realized that when you look at it collectively, year after year after year, child after child, we complete a full year of academic work in about you know, 3/4 of the time. So it's much more efficient, much more efficient. And so even with all of our distractions, even with all of our days out, our bad days, we're getting the work done. And in the end, it works out. So it's just take the pressure off yourself as parents. Take a deep breath. Just lower your expectations a bit and just know that it's not about, born professors. These children aren't coming out of the womb as doctors and lawyers and, you know, accountants and politicians and we're training them over a lifetime. So we're going to try to prepare them over the 18 years to get them to adulthood. And so we've got time. We've got time. It doesn't have to happen today. It would happen over 18 years. And as you build that up, just remember you can always catch up. So I think that taking that pressure off was the best thing. And what also helped was having friends. We finally came across another homeschooling family in our city. So it was within 40 minutes from home. And then we, you know, had them over and just exchanged notes and just shared. We even had a couple of classes that we shared together with. And so that really helps. And that knows it does help to know that you're not alone. There are other people out there doing it. So we're very fortunate to have that too.
Yeah. We've done whole episodes on how to, you know, build community and help your children to have great social experiences. And you and I have talked about it in the past.
Yes.
Connecting with other people, drawing on their experiences, noticing how different each family homeschools too, because they're Absolutely. Different. The parents are different. The kids are different. Say a little bit about that. What gave you the confidence to really start to see the Raish family homeschool more clearly?
That's a beautiful question, because it took about a year or so. It was our second year of homeschooling until we realized we don't have to be following some sort of cookie cut system. In schooling, what happens is your children become part of the identity of that school. And so that school has whatever its values are, and all that cohort or all those children are representing what that school represents. In homeschooling, every family is unique. And so if your children are going to represent what the homeschooling represents, those parents, what's beautiful is the characters of every single family that you come across are so different. So you have really various approaches to it. So some families, there's probably two extremes, if I can call it that. There are the homeschooling families who probably have this expectation where they do follow such a strict timetable to the point where they will stick to that. And then if they get off track, that's sort of the source of truth. You've got to stick to the timetable and you don't veer off that. And they might plan out every 30 minutes of the day. You know, there's something, you know, you've got to go boom, boom, boom. Very militant in their approach. There are others that are completely opposite, forget the timetable altogether and don't even have a plan, just sort of see what happens and let the children dictate the day. And so there's, you know, I think there's a bit of a danger there too, because you're sort of not got any direction you're going into. But at the same time, who am I to say that's wrong? If that family wants to do that, that's up to them. And if the other family wants to do that, that's up to them. But I don't have to follow that way or this way. So we came up with our way. And so our way was a bit of a mashed combination of some sort of a timetable, but that was so flexible that we weren't going to let that dictate our lives. It was just a guide, and we knew in reality if there are going to be those dirty diapers, if there's going to be those interruptions, there's going to be those, you know, ratty kids some days, there's going to be a lot of those bad days, it's okay. And you're not going to tick every single box every day. So having the flexibility there, you're going to have visitors and friends come over, you can have days out, and you can have all these things. So having flexibility, of course, having some sort of a guide. And so we have a guide that we want to get through this particular outcome over the year, and so we do have a rough timetable, but it's nothing like a school, and it's nothing And it's not as if it's school holidays all the time either. So that we do make sure there is some structure, but it's not the it's not what dictates our life. It's just a launch pad. And then we want to also have the flexibility to do things ad hoc as well. So because we are the principal, we are the head of departments, and so we are the boss in the children's life. I mean, we like to say God is the boss, but if you know what I mean, there's no school principal other than the parents. So we make sure that we are flexible and also enjoying every moment too. And sometimes it's okay if you see an opportunity to spend more time in a particular subject area, because it's also bonding happening with your child. And there's also some great moments in the day when your children are helping each other, and then you don't want to interrupt that. Sometimes it's best to let things go a bit and let them work it out. And it's great. I actually find one thing I've sort of seen, if mum and dad are sitting in the same room as the child, especially as they get older, they can typically lean on you a bit too much, and they'll be like, okay, what's the answer to this, dad? What's the answer to this? And it's sometimes better to say, look, you, I want you to do whatever you can, work it out. Even if you get it wrong, it's okay. I'll check up on it at the end. Leave any questions that you can't answer at all out, but have a go first. Make sure you give it a shot. I want you to think through this particular question. And then you come back and then you check on it and then you can have a discussion. But to just be there and they just sort of lean on you so much that you're pretty much doing the work for them, that doesn't help. So, I mean, I hope that makes sense. But every family is unique. And some are in the urban areas, rural areas. We're in a sort of semi-rural area. So we have a bit of space. So lots of outside activities. But we're also very close to the city. So we're on the edge of Sydney, right on the outskirts. So we're still inside of Sydney. And so we still have a bit of hybrid type of life, if that makes sense. We're city slickers, we're dabbling in a bit of country life. And so that sort of reflects on the way we live our life as well. So we are a little bit, we've got some structure, but it's not so militant in our life. We like the freedom as well.
Yeah, I love the sound of that. I love that you said you want to make sure that you enjoy every moment. Could you say a little bit more about, there's an internal wisdom there that might not be completely understood at first glance. What do you mean by that?
Oh, boy. I'll tell you exactly. When I, you know, and fathers can relate to this, when you go off to work and you spend all day at work and then you come back at the end of the day and you want to catch up on the day, and you're waiting on your wife to retell some of the highlights of the day. So as a father, you miss out on a lot of what happens. So if you're both working, and some families have to do that, there are things that are happening in the day that your children are achieving and you miss them. Now, when I spent a bit more time at home, when I was able to, especially in this lockdown, this was actually quite a blessing in disguise. Working from home, I was able to see everything my wife could see. And so all those, you know, things like the way you see your children just go from one activity to the next, or the way the toddlers are playing and learning, so that, you know, they have little games, they might have puzzles or coloring in activities, or, you know, all sorts of different things that they do, but they focus and they feel like they're big kids because they're looking at their bigger siblings who are doing serious book work, and they're like, they feel like they're one of them. And, you know, we've got this three-year-old sitting at the table, you know, just trying to color in a sheet, and they feel like they're the same as the 14-year-old. But it's great because they're all there, and then it's beautiful to see the older children helping the younger ones. The responsibility that they learn, and I just took it for granted. I missed a lot of it when I was at work, but being at home to see it firsthand, you know, all the classics, the first steps of your baby, you know, when they're one or whatever age they walk in your family, but you know, seeing the first steps, or even mixing it in, able to get my hands dirty and try give it a go as a dad. And seeing how hard it is on my wife sometimes when she is with a newborn baby or with a toddler, trying to even cook meals, and then deal with the classes. How does all that work? And just to be able to experience the whole dynamic, you're picking up things that you took for granted, I think. And we just seem to, I think most parents, we all should, if whether your children are in school or not, just think about, remember that we're talking about 8, 9, 10 hours a day where we as parents can typically can miss, and so much happens in 5 minutes, let alone 10 hours. So imagine all those little lessons the children are learning. It's just amazing to see. And I love just sometimes observing and watching and just seeing it. And they're so cute, you know. So it's just taking all that in and just realizing they're learning. They're not there yet. They're relying on you to teach them to get there, wherever there is in your mind. So some of our expectations think that our toddlers are born as adults, and they're not. They don't know. They have to learn etiquette at the table. They have to learn how to speak, learn their manners, learn conversation, learn how to share things. They have to learn these things, and they rely on the parents to teach them that. And they also will learn among each other as well. So I just think it helps take the pressure off as parents. And don't be sorry, you know, we can be embarrassed as well if our children are misbehaving in front of other families. We all think we have the perfect kids, and then the moment we mix with other kids and we see how ratty our own kids are, it can be embarrassing. So you just sort of, and then you want to quickly defend them. It's like they're learning, and that's the thing. We're always learning, and the moment we let that sink in, the pressure comes right off as parents, and then you really start to enjoy even those moments when they, when they do make a mess of things, when they do spill things, when I can't help think when things get to the point where it's very chaotic in the family, like if four children are trying to speak at once, and there could be someone spilling their dinner, or another one just dropped some drink. We've got a nappy to change. Things are happening all at once, and we've got two kids fighting. And I just can't help think, but just laugh. Oh, boy, this is so funny. Everyone's got their own little stresses in life. And if only these children knew this is not the be-all, end-all. It's like their whole life revolves around this one little issue. My brother didn't share this car with me, or this toy, or my sister is not playing with me, or this one called me a name, or this one. And so you have it all at once. You just think, oh, boy, if I was a child again with this brain. But they don't know. They just don't know what they don't know. So it's great to let them learn through these things. And it's beautiful as they grow up, they learn responsibility. And I'm amazed now. I've got two teenagers now, and they're now learning their responsibility. And I think they are starting to appreciate what mum and dad went through. They're just starting now that we're asking them to help a lot more with the little ones. They're starting to realize it is a lot of work, but that's okay. It's great. It's a blessing. And it's so fulfilling.
I love the sense of awe that's just kind of coming off of you. And it makes me think it's like the spiritual life, the way the more we mature in the spiritual life, the more we can actually see in the spiritual life, the more we can see other people and see ourselves and see the movement of God. And here you are getting the opportunity to be home with your children, seeing what you hadn't been able to see before, and seeing yes. more and more, and seeing the layers come off and the meaning go deeper. It's just incredibly beautiful to think about when we see something terrible happen and suddenly all these dads are at home. So many people have reported that they enjoy their children so much more than they ever realized. Mm. They're getting to know them as people and realizing they're people they actually enjoy spending time with. What a gift.
Amen to that. I mean, God's ways are not our ways. And in our Lord's wisdom, somehow through any tragedy, any pandemic, God can bring fruit out of it and still bring his glory. It's just amazing, these things that we take for granted. And if there was one lesson I've learned through this whole pandemic, is don't take anything for granted and live the moment, live today. Don't think I'll catch up with my kids tomorrow. I'll catch up with my wife tomorrow. I'll catch up with my family tomorrow. If you've got a moment today, really appreciate all the people in your life and don't take any of that for granted.
So beautiful. For the people that are just considering embarking on homeschooling, maybe they've had it with their kids being on Zoom all day and not knowing, you know, quite yes. where the system is taking their children's minds, and they're scratching their heads. And like all of us before we started, they're scared. What would you like to say to those people?
Yes, just do it. jump in and give it a go. Even if it was, give it a go for a year. Now that the world has tasted it in some form, and now we joke, and I think over the last couple of conferences, over the last year and a half, you know, we've seen phrases like, you know, pandemic schooling. So Kimberly Hahn, you know, summarizes that nicely, that what people are experiencing when they're doing school at home via the Zoom classes with the teacher on the other side, and they're following school the way school is set, and they're still following a timetable that is according to the school's timetable. And so don't feel the pressure of schooling like we did. Unlearn what you think. Homeschooling, true homeschooling, is actually very freeing. It's your own timetable. It's your own family's timetable. So if you want to do a day out, go for it as a family. We now deliberately avoid the school holidays for our holiday time. We actually flip it around. So our holiday time is when every other child is at school. And the reason is not only are things actually cheaper, you also it's quieter. So you have a bit, you know, you don't have to line up the long lines. So really, and you know what? There's no one stopping us doing that. We're free to do that. We're the principal. We are the boss at the home. So enjoy that freedom. Enjoy that freedom to really make it your own as a family. And it's okay if you don't get all the bookwork done in that day. You will have time to catch up. So just lower the expectations a bit. Take the pressure off and start really understanding why you want to homeschool. If it's crossing your mind, is it to protect the children from the culture? And that's a valid reason. But how are you doing that? Now, if you're worried, okay, I'm not a teacher, I don't have all the academic training, you just have to be one page ahead of your children. So as long as you know what books there are, just have to have a quick look at it, as long as you can try understand it. Remember, we're talking about school age, so I'm hoping that adults have finished their schooling, they look back and they realize this is not as hard as it is. And if it is difficult, there's always a way to get the answer. There's always a way to get help. There's always a way to get support. As far as content, there is a wealth of content online. And so, you know, get online as well. There's no excuse now. We've got access to so much information, and we've got so much help online. Podcasts like this, subscribe to these type of podcasts, you know, go on different websites that promote homeschooling. And I think the other thing is to try, if you can, identify anyone that you know that you can call on and get some advice, because it's good just to sort of bounce ideas off with other families, and then your children sort of feel that they're not completely, you know, at odds with the world. Yes and no. I want to be balanced here, but you want to make sure that the children know that they're not alone either. There are a lot of homeschoolers out there, and there are a lot of great families doing good things, and the children can find other homeschooling friends. I think that's very valuable, and it's great to see. We're blessed to have four families now within the same street. In fact, I've got two on the same property. So we share. So even in lockdown, our children didn't know any different, because we had all these other children on our property, that because we have three homes where we live on the same land. And then we have two houses down from us, another family with eight children. So, you know, we've got like 26 children between four families, only 50 meters from each other. So it's just fantastic. And we've got the space, they play. And so I think they're getting so much social, and that helps. So, but that happened over years, where as more and more people knew we were homeschooling, they asked us questions, and somehow opportunities came where they could move near us, and this is what happened. It sort of organically is starting to grow, and there's talk about other families wanting to move in the area, and we're sort of becoming a bit of a network now in our local area. And we're the only ones at one stage. I remember being alone. So now we're not alone, and there's about a dozen families within a 15-minute drive now. So this is fantastic. So we can meet up, and this just happens. It organically happens when we just trust God. Remember, you don't feel the pressure of school. You are the boss, and they will always catch up. And believe me, you'll be surprised. If there are some children that are advanced, well, then let them keep going. They could probably skip a grade eventually. If there are others that are struggling, that's okay. The beauty about homeschooling, you can really slow things down for them and focus. It's like tutoring. It's basically, you're not teaching 30 kids. You're teaching one child this particular curriculum or whatever you've come up with. And that really helps. So you can go at whatever pace you want. I like to call it the tailor-made learning program. And homeschooling allows you to tweak things on the fly. And even if you started off the year with one particular textbook, but you finished with a completely different one, that's okay. I mean, don't feel the pressure of, oh my goodness, I have to finish this book cover to cover. It's okay. We mix and match now. So I would say, so I've said a lot there, but number one, get back to the why you want to homeschool. Take, you know, sort of lower your own expectations on yourself and on your children. And then start to slowly take it step by step, and it's okay. Be free with it. Remember, it's your own timetable. Have fun with it, and really enjoy every moment as a family, because every moment is a learning experience, and that is invaluable. You're learning all the time, and that is something you need to really embrace and have fun with that. Maybe the biggest obstacle is, what resource do I start with? There are so many great all-in-one solutions now. Like, whether if you used Seton, that's great, because Seton covers all the subjects. You could just say, that's all I'm going to do in my first year. But you may realize after 6 months or so, oh, I like these other things. Memoria Press does some things. I think Sophia Press are doing things. Ignatius Press have some great resources. Of course, homeschool connections with the online aspect. There's the homeschooling network. I mean, my goodness, just Google Catholic homeschool resources. There are so many pages these days. And so pick one, start with that. That gets you off the ground, and then start to dabble in the others. And you might mix and match. And that's what we've done. It's sort of a combination of about half a dozen different suppliers. And we've use different things, and even use different things for different children. So it all depends on each unique circumstance. So hopefully that helps.
Oh my gosh, you've done such a great job of not only talking us through it, but then bullet pointing it for us. And I'd just like to add one thought, which is just that a lot of the curricula you can buy come with advisors you can get on the phone, yes, and they'll tell you how to use their curriculum. And they'll often say to you, you don't have to do everything on the plan, you know, gear it to your own child, take breaks, you know, that sort of thing, adjusting it to your child. Everything that you've just been saying, Charbel, the experts, you know, out there who own, yes, you know, run these companies are saying the same thing.
Yeah, brilliant, isn't it amazing? And I think I'm not sure what it's like in America, but in Australia, you have to, once you register, that you're homeschooling with the government. Those in Australia, we call it the NESA. I forgot what it stands for, but it's about education, like the Board of Studies. But once you've registered, and then every 2 years, and someone comes out to inspect, they spend 5 minutes, have a look at what you're doing, if you're covering the outcomes. It's a one-page plan for 2 years. And so, you know, you just say these subjects, these books, done, and they might flick through some just to see that they're doing something. And the meetings are literally five minutes, maybe 15 minutes tops, if you're sitting and having a coffee with them, and that's about it. They come every 2 years, the pressure's off. I mean, they're very impressed with the way we're going, and I think that's with us lowering our expectations. And I love that, and I feel so free that each child is going to learn at a different pace, embrace it all, and just take it day by day. And you can do this. Yeah, you're given the grace from God to do it, in the grace of matrimony, you're given, given that in your marriage, you've been given this grace that you can, you are the primary educators of your children. Embrace that responsibility and enjoy it. And when you do that, you feel so free.
Thank you so much, Charbel. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been incredible. And that felt like such a great place to kind of end. It was so beautifully said. But is there any last little thing that you want to say before we wrap up for today?
If you're on the fence thinking about it, I just encourage you to pray about it. Ask God for his grace to come in your life and talk to your spouse, of course, about it. But I think you'll never know if you never go. So give it a shot. So try. Try before you make a decision not to. So I think you'll always be left wondering, what would it have been like? I wonder if I can do it. I'll never be able to. And just give it a shot. And you'll be surprised. And don't give up on the first day, on the first week, on the first month. Give it a year if you can. Do one full year academic year. Now, remember, we just had 18 months in this pandemic, and we're still, thanks, most of us, I mean, thanks be to God, are still here. I know we've lost some people and a lot of sick people, but remember, that's the thing. Life can throw a curveball, and so the whole plan changes. So if there's anything we've learned in this pandemic, it is not my will, because my life can change at a moment. It's thy will be done. It's God's will. And so whatever happens, you're still living in the present moment. As long as you're in that family unit, that's all that matters. Because yes, we learned now anything can happen in life. Be ready for it. So live the present, have your own timetable, and be free. Enjoy.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Charbel. Everybody, you can find Charbel at www.parousiamedia.com. I'm going to spell that, but it's in the show notes. It's PARousiaMedia, parousiamedia.com, where you'll find tons of great resources, and you can reach out and get in contact with Charbel as well. Thank you again, Charbel. It's always so much fun, and we've got more topics coming up with you in the future. I will put your previous episodes in our show notes so people can catch up with your other ideas. So many great ones. Thank you again.
Thank you, Lisa. It's great being with you, and keep up the great work. It's helping a lot of people across the world. So God bless you.
Oh, praise be to God in all things for his glory. And that's our show for today. Our program is sponsored by homeschoolconnections.com. Be sure to subscribe to Homeschooling Saints and leave us an honest review. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.